World War II had just ended in 1945 when tension between the communist and non-communist systems turned into a so-called Cold War. The civil war between North and South Korea involved the United States and 19 other nations. After 3 years of fighting, the so-called police action ended in July 1953. Then suddenly, we had the conflict in Vietnam, which ran from 1959 to 1975. Several of our presidents tried to deal with both the military complexities in Southeast Asia and the political turmoil at home. Whatever the arguments about the war, our military personnel answered the call. In their honor, the Vietnam Memorial in Washington, D.C. was built, and over 58,000 names of those who died are etched on the granite face. The composer's dedication for our next selection reads as follows. This march is dedicated to the men and women who died in that war, to those whose heroic deeds went unsung, and to those who returned home only to find shattered remnants of what was once their American dream. The band now plays Black Granite.
Thank you.
Many movies have been made using war themes. During World War II, patriotism was strengthened by such films as Bataan, The Fighting Seabees, and 30 Seconds Over Tokyo. Most of them depicted events with more or less historical accuracy. Post-war pictures, however, were occasionally in a lighter vein. In 1979, Steven Spielberg directed an all-star cast in the movie 1941, a comedy spectacular about panic in Los Angeles following the attack on Pearl Harbor. The noted composer John Williams, of Star Wars and Jurassic Park fame, had completed Air Force service and was well into his career composing music for films and television. The man now plays his March of 1941. Thank you. The music for our next selection comes from the people of Acadia, who lived in Nova Scotia in eastern Canada. Now called Cajuns, theirs was a French colony until 1713, when it was acquired by Great Britain. The British eventually expelled those settlers who would not swear allegiance to the crown. Most of them moved to the fertile bayou lands of Louisiana and preserved French Canadian folk customs and traditions. This second suite by Frank Ticelli, who has been represented on several of our concerts before, is in two movements. The first, Ballad, is based on a folk song from the town of Nacogdoches, named for a tribe of Native Americans. The second movement, Country Dance, evokes the style of a Cajun two-step and is similar to Scottish folk dances and the American hoedown. The band now plays Ticelli's second suite of Cajun folk songs.
Thank you.
One of the most celebrated orchestra leaders during World War II was Glenn Miller, whose name is synonymous with the big band era. His music during the war seemed to represent the hopes and aspirations of an entire generation. Born in Clarinda, Iowa in 1904, Alton Glenn Miller developed an interest in music at an early age. After playing trombone with several bands, in 1937 he set out to make his mark as a leader and arranger. Developing the so-called Miller Sound, his band enjoyed phenomenal success. When World War II involved the United States, Miller entered the Army to form what became the nation's most popular service band. On December 15, 1944, Major Glenn Miller, director of the Air Force Band, boarded a plane in England to prepare for a Christmas program in Paris. The plane disappeared into the clouds and was never seen again. The band now plays a medley of Glenn Miller hits: In the Mood, Moonlight Serenade, I've Got a Gal in Kalamazoo, Serenade in Blue, Little Brown Jug, At Last, and The Anvil Chorus. Here is music in the Miller Mood.
Thank you.
The tune for the Battle Hymn of the Republic dates back to the early 1850s and is credited to a Southern composer, William Steffi. As a popular camp meeting song in the South before the Civil War, it was first sung to the words, "Say, brothers, will you meet us?" A few years later, other lyrics were created, such as, "John Brown's body lies a-moldering in the grave." When the Confederacy was formed, we got, "We will hang Jeff Davis to a sour apple tree." In 1861, reformer and author Julia Ward Howe, inspired by a visit to a Union Army camp, wrote her now immortal words. It was then adopted as a marching song for the North. The band now plays the Battle Hymn of the Republic.
Thank you.
Before our traditional final number, announcements about upcoming events. Next Sunday, November 11th, 11 o'clock in the morning, Memorial Park, about one block behind you. Veterans, the Cupertino Veterans Memorial Dedication Ceremony. Details are in the current issue of the Cupertino Scene magazine. Cupertino Symphonic Band's Holiday Concert, Sunday, December the 16th, 3 p.m., right here, Quinlan Center. We take note of a capacity crowd. Hope you enjoyed your concert. We've been working on increasing our attendance, and I think the word is getting out. As you will know, we are an all-volunteer organization, no paid staff. Our ages are from high school students to veterans and retirees. Some of these guys are getting more gray hair than they care to acknowledge, but they all enjoy making music for you. So thank you for coming, and we'll wind up with America's March, Stars and Stripes Forever.